How do you think writing this has affected you as a writer? What do you think you've learned about yourself as a writer through this?
Wow, that's a good question. Well, it's definitely, you know, it's because it's a labor of love, and because it is a piece of history, and a piece of Beatles history. I mean, there are a lot of Beatles historians out there. You know, I had to be really careful about the facts. You know, and I sort of talked about this a little bit earlier, but it, as a writer, it made me very conscious of drawing the line between reporting facts and taking creative license, because this is a biographical graphic novel, and as a film, it will be a biopic, and it doesn't follow the history directly. You know, there's dream sequences, hallucination sequences. It's the birth of the psychedelic era, so there are sequences that mimic that, what that must have been like. There are sequences that pay homage to the, I showed you the Kyle Baker sequence that pays homage to the old Beatles cartoons. There are sequences in the screenplay that pay homage to some of the Beatles films. So as a writer, I think it made me very conscious of how much creative license one can take and when it's okay to bend the facts and when maybe it's not. It made me very preoccupied with that in a way that I had never been before. Certainly in a way that you're not when you're totally coming up with the story on your own. I mean, Brian passed away many years ago, and as I mentioned, he's a very unsung figure in the Beatles history. So to some extent, this is my Brian Epstein. This is my version of who I think he was, based on a tremendous amount of research. And yes, I will be arrogant enough to say I think I'm the one who's really gotten it right. I don't think any of the biographers up to today have gotten it right. But at the end of the day, Brian's not around anymore, and most of the people who knew him aren't around anymore. So really, this is my Brian Epstein, you know, so how much of that is it okay for it to be mine, you know, and that's something I've been very, very thoughtful about, in a way that I don't think I was when I began this process. I don't know if that totally answers your question, but...
If you could have a conversation with Brian, and you got that one question that you've been waiting forever to ask him, what do you think you'd ask him?
Wow. I mean, I would ask him, you know, if he could go back and change one thing, what would it be? Because here's a guy that released so much love into the world. The great tragedy of the Brian Epstein story is through his efforts, the world is such a richer place for love.
Mm-hmm.
But he died lonely at the age of 32, never having had a proper boyfriend. So how do you reconcile that? You know, I'm sure he wouldn't have wanted to change anything with the amount, with the impact that he's had on the world. But maybe there were certain things that he could have done to have died less lonely, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder how much he thought about that. And that would have been the question. You know, if I was sitting down with the ghost of Brian, I guess it would have to be. Yeah. It would have to be a Brian who'd lived his life and was able to look back on it. You know, I would sort of ask if you could go back and just do one thing differently, or a few things. You know, what would you change? What would you go back and change? Because I really do feel Brian did so many things right, but there were a lot of things he did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't say I'm a Brian Epstein fan. I'm a Beatles fan. Brian is somebody I describe as a kind of mentor. Because I think a mentor is somebody you learn from. You know, someone that you're a fan of is somebody that you have unconditional love for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a mentor, you should look to your mentors to learn what to do and what not to do.
Yes.
You know? And so yeah, I think that's what I would ask him.
A lot of the times, especially the way Broadway is now, you're seeing movies turned into plays.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that this could possibly one day come full circle and go from graphic novel to movie?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I get asked this question a lot because obviously that my major successes and my primary background is in the theater space. So people ask, is there a theater project coming, or why not a theater project first? And the latter question is a little easier to answer, just because, as I mentioned before, I saw it really in terms of color palette and some of the dream sequences, the hallucination sequences, the psychedelic influence sequences just lent themselves more, I think, to the page and the screen than they would to the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it really did very early off feel like it should be a graphic novel and a film first. But absolutely, my background is in theater. It would be impossible for me not to think about a theater adaptation. So I will say that there is one tucked away in the back of my head. But first things first, you know, the book comes out on November 19th. We have a film in very active development that that we hope to have fast on the book's heels. And once we get those two out of the way, then we'll turn our attention to theater. So the short answer is one day, yes. But for now, really, we're focusing on the book and the film. So one thing at a time, I guess.
Okay.
Or two things at a time. Yeah. You know, we're doing two at the same time. So
probably the most difficult question that I've asked, that I'm going to ask you, favorite Beatle.
Yeah, that's like, there really isn't one. I mean, honestly, there really isn't. You know, I've gone through, I think like a lot of people, I've gone through phases, you know. Part of what was so wonderful about the Beatles, I think, is that they were four very distinct personalities. You know, and there's definitely periods of time where I'm like, you know, I never disliked the others, but where I'm going through a John phase, and I'm really into John's solo work, and I'm into the songs that John wrote for the, primarily wrote for the band. And then there are definitely phases where I'm really into Paul, and you know, and you know, Paul has had the good fortune, I guess I should say, of being alive. You know, Paul is celebrating his 71st birthday today, I believe. And so where I'm going with this is that Paul has had certain life experiences that the other guys didn't, that certainly George and John didn't have. You know, and so, as a dad, myself, I have two kids, you know, when I'm in very daddy-oriented mode, sometimes I find myself leaning towards Paul a little bit more, because I think he's probably written more songs that are more thoughtful, because, you know, he lived through his 40s and his 50s and his 60s, and he's into his 70s, and John didn't have that luxury. John didn't live through his 40s. That being said, John wrote some gorgeous songs about kids. Beautiful Boy is one of the you know, that's a song I sing to my son every night before we go to sleep. So, you know, it just kind of matters what phase I'm going through, but there's a different Beatle for different moods, I guess. And when you put them all together, they are a band. I really do believe that, you know. I mean, I don't think Yesterday is a Paul song and Strawberry Fields Forever is a John song, and it may be a little controversial for me to say that. But those are Beatles songs, you know, and if only because of the push and pull and the creative forces that the other members had on them when they were composing that material, those songs belong to the band. So the short answer is no. The longer answer is sometimes.
Last question from me. You've had an incredible track record on Broadway. It's something like 25 out of possible 49 or 44 Tony nominations that you've won.
Something like that.
Something
yeah.
along those lines. How confident are you that this is going to be successful?
You know, you never take anything for granted in the arts and entertainment. You never do. So, you know, confident, I try not to think about that. You know, I try not to even ask myself that question. I will say that I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean? I know this is a great story. I know that we've told it well. I know that I love it and that I'm a huge Beatles fan. So I'm excited. I'm not worried. But I would never go so far as to say that I'm confident, because I just think that's a foolish thing to do. And in the entertainment space, you can never be confident. You can just do your best and do it well and work hard.